And they find it absolutely hilarious. They aren't the X. They aren't no names. And they aren't gentlemen. They are Gemma and King. And this is Social Downfall Radio.
Yes, the show that keeps on confusing Harambe with Hammurabi. This is Social Downfall Radio. My name is King.
And this is Gemma.
Yes, only I could ever confuse a gorilla with a Babylonian king, but, you know, whatever.
You're special.
Every time I see his name, because everybody's got this whole Harambe stuff going around, and it's just like, every time I see it, all I can think of is Hammurabi.
I think of the gorilla.
Yeah, but you don't know who, like, you're not a student of history as
no,
I am.
No, I'm not.
So, you know, Hammurabi, the code of Hammurabi, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
I know it.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, la-dee-da. anyway, this is Social Downfall Radio. King.
Gemma.
Did I do that already?
Yep.
I got so upset about the whole Harambe Hammurabi thing that I forgot if I actually introduced who the hell we were. But which I don't think I really have to do because McKay does that in the show opener. So I really shouldn't even have to introduce the show or who I am.
Maybe not.
But that's kind of, well, whatever.
It's our thing.
Is what it is. So, Gemma. As we do every week. How was your past week? Anything fun happen? Anything interesting?
Wrestling.
There was a lot of wrestling this weekend from Saturday through yesterday.
And there's still
yesterday
more.
Yesterday was Tuesday. I apologize for that. And there's also NXT on Wednesday, which we haven't seen yet since we record on Wednesday. Breaking the fourth wall again.
Whoa.
I think everybody at this point knows it, so it's not even really like a...
No.
I'm not ruining anybody's lives by saying that, you know, this is a recorded show. But, yeah, no, a lot of wrestling from NXT on Saturday, SummerSlam on Sunday, Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday. Then, of course, we have NXT and a Cruiserweight Classic on Wednesday. Plus, something I've been getting into recently is What Culture Pro Wrestling. And I love it because it's a wrestling promotion. First of all, it's a wrestling promotion made in England. And anybody who's kind of a wrestling nerd probably knows about What Culture Wrestling from YouTube. And they have a website where they do, like, all different kinds of lists. And they do fun YouTube videos where they do, like, ups and downs of the different shows and WTF moments from WWE, as King Ross would say, even though he always talks about gimmick infringement, King Ross does. And he's always talking about himself being a K-I-N-G, being a king. First of all, that's gimmick infringement, my friend. You're taking my gimmick.
He's just gimmick infringement everywhere.
Because let's face facts here. You know, he may call himself King, but I literally am King. That is my name. Like, I'm not making something. I'm not like Jerry the King Lawler calling myself a king or King Mabel or King Haku or whoever. Any other King Booker. Okay. You know, I'm King. That's my damn name. Like, I didn't make it up. I didn't have, oh, I want to have a cool radio name. I'm going to call myself King. No, it is my name. That's why I use it, because it's a cool damn name. It's a cool name to already have. I'm just saying. Anyway, it's really cool stuff that they do on YouTube and anything, and they're a bunch of wrestling nerds, and the fact that they have made their own wrestling promotion, and they have like a weekly show. It's called Loaded. It shows on YouTube. I think it's every Tuesday at 5 p.m. It goes on YouTube. I think it's taped, but, you know, on YouTube you can watch it live. They play the whole show. It's really cool. They have a lot of great wrestlers, obviously mostly British and Scottish wrestlers.
Sandow.
And they have Damian Sandow or Aaron Stevens or Aaron Rex or whatever the hell name he has. They've also brought over, they have the Will Ospreay over there, who's one of the, you know, great indie wrestlers right now to watch. Hopefully, he gets picked up somewhere soon, but he's absolutely phenomenal to watch.
Didn't they also promote Cody?
Yes, they are having Cody Rhodes as part of there. Kurt Angle is going to be there in October, I believe. They're going to have like a Kurt Angle tournament, and then whoever wins also faces Kurt Angle, but Kurt will also be facing Cody Rhodes.
Wicked.
You know, and it's just, it's fun to see wrestling nerds, you know, put their money where their mouth is. You know, it's fun to, you know, everybody always kind of criticizes and, you know, well, WWE does this wrong, and if I was booking, this is how I would book this, and this is, you know, I would, this storyline's terrible, this is how I would do the storyline, and here they are, they actually have a promotion going, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're doing it the way that they think wrestling should be done. And the funny thing about it is that there's people, even in what culture, that are like critical of what culture pro wrestling is doing. I love it. I think it's great. I really do.
We wouldn't have this though without one thing.
What's that?
The internet.
That's very true. That's very true. And there was a big anniversary kind of here recently. The internet turning 25 officially, and no, Al Gore had nothing to do with it. Thank God. But August 23rd, which was Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
August 23rd was 25 years since the internet went live. I believe it was originally in a computer in CERN in Switzerland. You know, basically where they do like a lot of the particle accelerations and stuff, like a big science lab, is where the internet first went live. And it was basically meant for just instant sharing of documents between all the different labs that were working on a project. I think one of the first pages that went live was a phone directory. But it was the fact that it used the WWW, the World Wide Web Project, which is what it was called, the World Wide Web Project. There we go. And that it used HTTP. It used the Hypertext Transfer Protocol. It was the first time, you know, they had the links where if you clicked on a link, it brought you to another document. That was huge. That was a big, big deal. I'm actually looking up some of the information here now. They're actually calling August 23rd Internaut Day.
Internaut Day.
Like an astronaut, only through the internet, I guess.
I kind of like that.
It was Tim Berners-Lee, or Sir Tim Berners-Lee. I guess he got knighted. That's it. The first internet page was a basic text page with hyperlinked words that connected to other pages and other sites. That's it. There's a quote here. The WWW, the World Wide Web Project, merges the techniques of information retrieval and hypertext to make an easy but powerful global information system, said Berners-Lee on the world's first public website. The project started with the philosophy that much academic information should be freely available to anyone. And that's where, you know, the internet's first kind of catchphrase of being the information superhighway first kind of came to be, because that was it. It was the ability that if you could connect to the servers, if you could get online and connect to these different computers and different servers, is that you could get all the information you wanted. And that was the basis for the internet. The internet, like almost every other thing in the world that was good intention, had great intentions of being the place. And it still kind of is. I mean, listen, as much as people don't like Google or anything like that, where would we be personally, like the world, without Google?
Where would we be without the internet, period?
I mean, just think about it. Here's the thing. I remember the days, and that's, I guess I'm showing my age with my birthday being, as you're listening to this now, my birthday. I am 35 years old. God. But that's it. I remember the days of going to the library, looking through the reference catalogs, you know, using the Dewey Decimal System, for the love of God, you know, and then having to go and search the books and find the information. And that was, I mean, that was cool enough as it was. You know, nowadays, if you want information, you can go on your phone. You don't even need a computer. You don't even need that. All you need is your phone, which is basically a tiny computer now anyway.
Yeah.
Go on to the internet, which is 25 years old, and find any piece of information that you want. You can find, like, I can't tell you how many times we're during the show we'll be talking about something. Just like this, we were talking about the internet, about it being 25 years old. What did I do? I went to Google, typed in internet, 25 years old, boom, pulled up an article about it. I got a couple quotes, was able to talk about it on the radio.
Boom.
Like that. Whereas before, if I wanted to do the actual research on any kind of subject like that, I would have to go and physically get the book. I would have to physically go and find the information.
But we wouldn't be able to talk about it like this.
I would have to spend the whole week, but like we'd have to find out what we were talking about like a week in advance, if not more, to find that information, go research it, look it up, and then be able to talk about it.
But where would we record? Where would we air our stuff?
And that's the other thing as well, is that the internet gave birth to the podcast, which put, you know, no longer did you have to be in radio, employed by a radio station, to have your voice heard, or to play a certain kind of music that you wanted to, or think, you know, a lot like how we were talking about what culture and how they're doing what they're doing with pro wrestling, you know. I mean, I know I've been guilty of saying, you know what, I don't think radio stations are run right nowadays. I would do it this, and this way. And we're able to go ahead and do that now. We're part of a radio, we're part of the Brainstew Radio Network, which is a online radio station trying to do just that, trying to do radio the way we think radio should be done. And again, that's something that we wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't for the internet.
It's empowering.
Now, on the flip side of that, though, with everything that is good, there's also bad.
Always.
I think. And the internet has also brought a lot of bad. Now, I'm not going to list porn as a bad, because I love porn. But some of the unintended consequences of all that free information and that free access to porn and all kinds of porn. Well, let's just take a look at Playboy magazine. Playboy magazine doesn't do nudes anymore. And one of the biggest reasons they said is people can find naked pictures of girls at the touch of a button now. Like the mystique and the thrill of like reading a Playboy and, you know, looking at, you know, the nude girls and say, oh wow, you know, that's something that you really couldn't see outside of a Playboy or a Penthouse or a Hustler, you know, 25 years ago. You couldn't see that anywhere else but there. Or if you went to like a strip club or something. Or, you know, went into the back of the old video rental stores, you know, mm-hmm. where they, you know, the adult only section, you know what I mean? Which as a kid was always fun to sneak into. And that was even before Blockbuster. I remember when I was living in Bayonne, New Jersey at the time, we had Just Video. And that was the only rental place in town. And it was, you know, like, it had the big, heavy plastic cases. And it almost like a beta case. It was like, you know, as you tried to open it up. And it was, you could kill somebody with one of those video cases. It was, I had a moment of nostalgia, but
I
still.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Of course not, because you're like 12, so.
28. I'm 3 years older than the internet. Three.
So you were 3 years old when the internet went live.
Yes.
I was 10.
Ha ha. I know the Dewey Decimal System.
Do you really?
Yeah. I didn't use the internet in school until 7th, 8th grade.
Now, I think they should still teach the Dewey Decimal System just as a reference, just in case. You know what I mean? I think people need to know that.
They should still teach Dewey Decimal, cursive writing. There's a lot of stuff going out of style that they should still
back
be teaching.
Back in my day. But dude, still, I'm gonna pose this question to you right now. 25 years later, do you think the world is better for having the internet or worse off for having the internet?
Better.
You think it's better overall?
Overall better.
Even for all the bad things that happened, the, because as we were talking about, it's easy to get information, but I mean, obviously we've seen a dark side with, you know, the ease of child predators or, you know, just regular criminals and predators, the dark web, the deep web, where people, you know, sell drugs and everything. I mean, the Silk Road thing that happened a while ago, where the guy got life in prison because he was basically the mob kingpin of the dark web.
It's going to happen regardless, whether it's through the internet. It's human nature.
So you have the fatalist idea of people are going to corrupt any kind of new system that there is, but overall, in your mind, the internet has done more positive than negative to the world.
We wouldn't be able to express our opinions like we do.
Okay. I mean, I kind of agree with you on the fact that I think the world is better off for having the internet slightly. The only thing it does is I think it's also given us the problem of social justice warriors, people jumping on things with a hot take immediately. Like, that's the thing is, I think before the internet, people were able to look at facts and absorb information before making an opinion, whereas now with the internet, with everything lightning speed, they're ready for you, ready to go, is that people can look at something and then immediately spout off an opinion, as uninformed as it may be, and just, you know, start saying whatever they wanted to say. And I think that's a bad thing. I think that's a, you know, when you start sharing uninformed opinions, I mean, Jesus, look at Facebook in and of itself with all the different, you know, Facebook posts and pages that are like, you know, how many fake celebrity deaths have we seen people try to post? How many, you know, Donald Trump eats babies, here's a picture. Like, it's almost the National Enquirer on, you know, cranked up to 11.
I just ignore all that stuff.
Right, but, and that's fine, that's good that you do, but if you've seen Facebook, you know that not everybody dies. I mean, Jesus, there were still people posting the fact that, you know, if you look into the sky on August 26th, Mars will appear as big as the moon. It's like, that part bugs me, is that people see stuff and then immediately share it without critical thinking. And I think that's one of the bad things that the internet has done. I think it has diminished critical thinking amongst the human race.
It has. I will agree there. My own experience is not naming names. My job, I work as a customer service rep. We had a recall a couple years ago. We still have people calling in on it because people keep posting it on Facebook thinking it's still relevant.
Well, and that's it. And that's the other thing is, like, people were posting this year about Andy Griffith dying when he died, I think, in like 2008 or something. You know what I mean? It's just, I love the internet. I think it does a lot of great things for people. It obviously does a great thing for us because we're able to go ahead and talk about whatever we want on here. We have this forum to be able to do this and share it with people, and people can share it, and people can share their own opinions. And I mean, the internet, I agree with you, has done a lot more good than bad. But as a cynic, as I am, it's hard to ignore the bad. And there's a lot of bad, I think, with the internet as well. And I think it's...
you're always going to get that,
if anything, the biggest thing with me, I think I would say, is that it has pulled the wall back, you know, pulled the curtain back on humanity. And the thing is that now with the internet, like, I think before the internet, like, you knew, like, there were bad people out there, or people had stupid thoughts, or people had, you know, bad thoughts, racist thoughts, women hating thoughts, whatever the case is. Like, you knew people were bad, but for the most part, you had a general feeling that, you know what, maybe humanity is pretty decent. Whereas with the internet now, I mean, all you have to do is go to a YouTube comment section and realize just how depraved and how terrible the human race really is. And just, you know, it. I know it's kind of funny to joke about, but, I mean, seriously, it's... I guess I'm trying to say, the world's a smaller place, and maybe it's a better place for having the internet. But for me, it's just shown that people suck.
Oh, I knew people suck before I started using the internet.
And I guess that, to me, that might be the overall lasting legacy of the internet, is just the internet has shown the world how much the world sucks. But anyway, on to lighter topics. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about wrestling in the next segment. That's coming up right here on Social Downfall Radio. Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Connect to Social Downfall on social media, like on Facebook at facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and follow us on Twitter at Social Downfall, minus the O in downfall.
So it's like S-C-I-A-L? Oh, in downfall, so social, S-O-C-I-A-L-D-W-N. Yeah, that'll work. That sucks, though. It's hard to work with.
Weekend of wrestling this past weekend.
Glorious.
And probably one of the best debuts I've seen in a really, really long time.
I was obsessed before he even debuted.
Well, we were, and I'll say this, of course, we're talking about Bobby Roode and NXT, NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn again this year. But with Bobby Roode, before he even made his in-ring television debut anyway, on Twitter and on YouTube and on all these different platforms, the team of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa were doing what they called hashtag Glorious Bombs, where they were doing... I had to do one more glorious in there. They were doing where they were kind of just standing around waiting for, you know, something, and then, you know, out of nowhere, like the elevator door would open and there would be Bobby Roode and he'd be shaking his head in disappointment, then look up at the camera, nod yes as soon as glorious hit, and that was their glorious bombs. And I think that had a huge part with getting everything so over with the crowd that when Bobby Roode finally did debut in Brooklyn at NXT TakeOver, the crowd knew every single word to the song.
I think you mentioned it. They could have cut his music and he would have still had an entrance song.
You wouldn't have missed anything. No, the crowd was right there with it. And it was really amazing. That, first of all, that was a great crowd for NXT.
NXT altogether was glorious.
It really was. It blew everything else out of the water. It was amazing show. The matches were good. Even the opening match where you had No Way Jose versus Austin Aries. Austin Aries wins the match. Looks good. I was happy with that. Then he starts, you know, being real heel as the greatest man who ever lived would be. And then who comes out? Hideo Itami.
That was amazing.
Which was really cool. In fact, it was just good to see Hideo Itami back. But then for the first time on WWE television, now he did it once at a live show back at WrestleMania 31 when NXT was kind of there. Kind of in the same role as this was, but they didn't televise it. Like, I guess no one really, no one was really truly yet understanding how big NXT could be or how big it was with people. Where he hit the go to sleep, the GTS. Now, I know a lot of people out there are also like, well, that's CM Punk's move. Ah, wrong. Correction. I need to correct you, good sir, because that is indeed not CM Punk's move. No, not CM Punk's move. That was Hideo Itami's move when he was Kenta over in Japan, and CM Punk basically just lifted it from him. I don't know if he got permission to do it or not, but the fact is, as soon as Hideo Itami put Austin Aries up on his shoulders getting ready, the crowd popped. The crowd already knew what was going to happen. And then when he actually did hit it, the place just exploded. It was just fantastic.
Just, I'm still enthralled by Brooklyn 2. It was my favorite of all of them.
It was really good. It was a really good show. Shinsuke Nakamura is the champion. He beat Samoa Joe, who I'm still not sure if his jaw injury is legit or not. They threw up the X on the side after the show. You saw the refs throw the X up.
It looked like he was in a lot more pain than he should have been.
But he still finished the match like a champ. Hopefully he's not injured or not too injured if he is injured. And because I'd like to see him get called up soon. Especially, I'd like to see him on SmackDown. SmackDown needs a monster. And Raw already has too many people anyway. I'd like to see SmackDown get him. Then we had SummerSlam on Sunday.
Nope.
SummerSlam was... To put it nicely, to put it kindly, was a mess. SummerSlam was an absolute mess. It was a fail. It was an absolute fail.
I want my money back.
The booking of the matches was off. I mean, you had the women's championship match. Even though there were a couple of botches, I'm not going to lie, it was still a very good match. I was very invested in the match. It was good storytelling between Charlotte and Sasha. Charlotte had won the belt, took it off Sasha. People were saying that, oh, she got taken off the next 31 days of WWE live dates, so she's going to be suspended. She must have a wellness policy violation or something like that. It's probably more like recouping injury.
She did come out and say, I think, from what I've read, and it's recouping injuries and her honeymoon.
Yeah, she just got married to Mikazi, of all people. God bless him.
Wow. I didn't realize it was him until you mentioned it. We were watching up, down, down.
Yes, Xavier Woods / Austin Creed's YouTube channel for gaming nerds, which is actually pretty fun. Their UFC tournament is actually pretty fun to watch.
Just all together, they're fun to watch.
But anyway, Mikazi, good get, man. Good get. That's shooting way above your league, man. I'm telling you, that's pretty good. But still, the women's match on second?
No,
it was a great quality match too. It didn't belong second on the card.
Nope.
And like I said, none of the matches seemed to match where they belonged. It was bad booking. The pacing was completely off. It was just by the halfway point, I think everybody was just exhausted. It was a weird show. It was weird. It was hard to get into it. And then not only that, but you put supposedly the most prestigious title, the WWE World Championship, you put that in a mid-card? I understood that they were probably going to have the Universal Championship ahead of the World Champion simply because it was a new title and it was Raw. I get it, you know, so you kind of want to make that a little bit bigger for a debuting title. I understand that. And I would have had no problem with it if the Universal title, if it went World title, Universal title, cool down match, Lesnar Orton. If that was the way they did it, I would have been fine with that.
I would have been okay with it.
But that's not what they did.
Nope.
They had the 6-woman tag match. Like, I don't... How? The 6-woman tag match goes ahead of that? That's a cool-down match. Then they had the match with Rusev and Reigns that never happened, which, again, is another pet peeve of mine. If you're going to advertise a match, have the match, especially during a pay-per-view. If you want to kind of do the whole match doesn't begin, no contest thing, you do that on Raw, you do that on SmackDown. You don't do that on a pay-per-view.
I'll take it on a pre-show also.
Pre-show's fine because that's not really the damn show. As much as everybody likes to try to say it is, it's not. Let's be serious. That's why it's the pre-show.
Pre-show doesn't count.
But Like, SummerSlam was weird. And then, of course, you end it with Brock Lesnar putting his elbow through the skull of Randy Orton, which people are still trying to argue whether it was a work or a shoot. Nobody still really knows. It looks like Orton spiked Lesnar when he did the DDT off the ropes, which I could understand that would be piss off Lesnar, and he probably worked a little more stiff and started elbowing and hitting Orton. But now word is that backstage, Jericho got into Brock's face about it because he thought it was a shoot. And everybody back there, including Orton, told Jericho it was a work and that was the way it was supposed to go down.
From what I'm understanding, a lot of people...
From what you've been told by your inside sources?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying everything was going smoothly. The only issue was the elbow. The elbow wasn't supposed to happen.
So I wonder if that... I don't know. But the blood was supposed to happen is what it seems like.
Blood was supposed to happen. Not that bad.
So maybe it was just a case of the elbow caught him
in the wrong spot.
And I mean, so that'll happen. But I mean, yeah, so everything we're hearing from back in Gorilla Position, where there was the whole blow up with Jericho and Lesnar, is, you know, from McMahon to Orton to Triple H telling him that it was a work and that was the way it was supposed to go down. People are still arguing that it doesn't seem that way. I don't know. I'm still on the fence because Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants to do. As much as that's a catchphrase by Paul Heyman, it's a fact that, you know, if Brock wants to work, he'll work. If he doesn't, he kind of mills in matches. And that's the thing. Brock Lesnar, for as much crap as he gets, he has the ability to put on 5-star matches. And he's done so in the past. His matches with Kurt Angle back in the early 2000s were some of the greatest matches and best storylines ever seen that I've ever seen. And I've seen a couple people agree with me on that fact. But when Lesnar doesn't want to work, well, that's when you get Lesnar Goldberg at WrestleMania 20, where they just both of them were leaving and neither one cared. And you have to understand when it comes to Lesnar, you. He's getting all this money. There's no motivation, I think, for him. There's no motivation for him. So I don't think he cares. And so you get these paint by number, suplex, beast mode, and 1-2-3 pin, and I'm an unbeatable monster. That's going to have to change soon because people are getting bored with it.
I'm bored already.
As fun as it was in the beginning, like when he beat the hell out of John Cena and, got the title run there, and then at WrestleMania he was doing the same thing to Roman Reigns and everything like that. Like yeah, that was fun, and that was interesting because that was something different. We hadn't seen anything like that before. And then now it's just kind of getting okay. Now it's the same paint-by-number matches all the time.
I was bored after the second Taker match.
That Taker storyline really was a lot of... That killed a lot of it.
He should have ended the streak, and then they separated. No more matches between them, ever.
After the streak one, I think that should... Yeah, I agree with you. After the streak one, it should have been. Anyway, so that was SummerSlam. Really weird. Then Monday Night Raw happened, which was even weirder. Like, it was, again, just an off show. It just seemed weird.
I want to take into account the fact that they had to do a lot of stuff on the fly.
They did because, of course, Finn Balor, after winning the Universal Championship, being the very first Universal Champion, had to relinquish it the very next day because of a shoulder injury because of Rollins. And I've seen a lot of people trying to defend Rollins. And I'll put this out there. I doubt anybody listens from these people anyway. But New Age Insiders, Bill Neville from New Age Insiders, he has been really crapping on Brock ever since SummerSlam, and kind of defending Rollins. And I'll say this, and I say this to him, and I say this to everybody who's trying to be an apologist for Rollins. I think Rollins is a far more danger to everybody else on that roster than Brock Lesnar is.
Rollins is injured. Wasn't it Lesnar?
No, he's injured Cena. He's injured... He ended Sting's career. Listen, I understand that people like the whole the high toss powerbomb into the turnbuckles or into the barricades, but after so many people have been injured by him doing this, it's either he's doing it wrong or it's just time to get rid of the move. You let him, you made him get rid of the curb stomp because of potential head injuries. Well, he's snapping people's shoulders and spines and necks doing this whole turnbuckle toss powerbomb thing. That needs to stop. That needs to stop, and he needs to either learn how to do it correctly or just get rid of the move, because you're not going to have any superstars left. Here it was. You were putting a rocket on Balor. He's going to, I mean, he's going to be your top guy, and now he's gone for 6 months. He may miss WrestleMania. I mean, and that's it. It screwed up everything. Everything that I bet you they had planned now absolutely screwed up, and they had to go on the fly. So I agree with you. However, I'll say this. Never give Titus O'Neil a microphone.
Never.
Ever. Just never give that man a microphone. So then we have that. Then we have SmackDown, which was absolutely a fantastic show. Top to bottom, I thought they did a fantastic job with booking, pacing, storyline building, feud building. The new belts look good, as opposed to the fruit roll-up belt. I liked everything with SmackDown.
You skipped one thing in Raw. Bayley.
Yes, Bayley did debut on Raw, so we do have that, finally. But again, she debuted, and she fought Dana, but, like, again, there was no, like, I'm glad she debuted, but what was the, you know, what's the rub? Where's the money? Where's the money in that?
And she's going to get a title shot soon.
I got gas.
I think Sasha's whole thing with dropping the title, that was almost unexpected. It wasn't supposed to go like that originally, because she was booked for the next 30 days. So I'm wondering if they brought up Bayley to replace Sasha.
I think Bayley was coming up anyway.
But they're going to give her her storyline.
What, Sasha's?
Yeah.
Sasha wasn't supposed to drop the belt. The reason she dropped the belt was because she needed the time off. So they're not, I don't think they're giving her her storyline. They've had to come up with something new now.
Well, you know what I mean.
I have no idea what you mean. I never know what you mean. The words you come that come out of your mouth never make sense to me. Ever. Then we had SmackDown, like I was mentioning. Very good show. The highlight of SmackDown, though, wasn't even on the main SmackDown. It was on the network's Talking Smack show that they play after SmackDown. And it has to do with one of my favorite guys. It's The Miz. And I just want to take a moment. We're going to pause. We're not going to talk. I just want you to listen to this promo, because this promo might be one of the best things since CM Punk left the company.
There's no gentle way to say it to me. You wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
Like, I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one.
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like, embodies, like, when I was an independent guy and I was thinking, like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE has transformed in the last.
Hold on. You had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward.
And this is where it goes.
Yeah. But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them.
Maurice,
I promise,
looks
you,
so uncomfortable.
I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. And you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
fans?
Okay,
I think you
then,
need to calm.
No,
that's not what this show's
me
about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick, because the fact is, you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time.
Now,
you're
is this
coward.
Where it went from work to shoot? And I think that's
so.
Where everybody's kind of with this is, you know, it started off like a regular work promo or work interview, and then it seemed to have gotten a little more shoot to the point where it seems like he really did piss off Daniel Bryan.
I think so. I just want to say, I don't think Renee knew.
I don't know. I don't know if she. I don't know if Maurice, Mrs. White, because she started to look really uncomfortable there. But the point is, like, that promo is one of the best things to come out of WWE in the last 5 years. It was absolutely fantastic, one of the reasons why I love The Miz.
I stopped watching wrestling for at least 10 years. Best thing since I started watching.
And that's it. I've always been a big Miz mark. I love Miz. But that was an absolute another level. Wow, we're almost done with the show already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did. That was a long-ass segment. We got to stop doing these long segments. I've been trying like hell to do shorter segments, but I can't get you to shut up. Really. It's a pain in the ass. Anyway, coming up next, what do we got next? New music, perhaps?
New music.
Right here on Social Downfall Radio.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
More addictive than Game of War. And we didn't even need Kate Upton's boobs. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Social Downfall Radio, back here with you, King and Gemma, on my birthday nonetheless. Wish me a happy birthday because I'm a special little boy and I deserve it.
Happy birthday.
Yay. What's my present? What do I get? Where's the loot? Give me the loot. That's the song we should have come into. Give me the loot. Anyway, this is...
I have no clue what song you're talking about.
Amaranth. You have no idea that... Give me the loot. God, my sweet summer child. No idea. Anyway, I'm actually rather excited because this is our first music segment.
Finally.
Where we get to talk about some new music. I'm excited.
I love music.
I'm happy. We've been meaning to do this for a while, but there was nothing, I think, that came out that was really exciting.
That we both could talk about.
I can talk about pretty much anything. Actually, getting me to shut up is a problem.
Yeah, it is.
But there was no new music out there that really grabbed me, you know, or you, in that matter. And it's easy to grab you because you have huge honking cans. Don't look at me like that. seriously, stop looking at me like that. What? It's true. You got big boobs.
Okay.
Oh, focus?
Focus.
Well, I am focusing just on your boobs, not on the music. Anyway, but now we have, in the last week, two new pieces of music have come out. Very excited.
Very.
About both of them. We're going to get to my favorite in just a little bit. Right now, though, is a new one. Just came out, I believe. Actually came out on the 22nd, so it came out Monday. It's Korn's new song. It's called Insane, which I'm surprised they haven't done a song called Insane yet. But
that
seems like they would have a song called Insane already, don't it?
It does.
All right. Well, here, let's take a listen and see what we think.
Yeah. Things keep ending up this way. Another notch is carved away in the dots of mass decay. Funny how things end up this way.
I gotta say, this is the first time in a long time that I'm getting that old school porn vibe.
I was. I wouldn't think this is new. This sounds old porn.
I'm just happy there's no dubstep with Skrillex.
Yeah.
Funny how a dying go away. Interlude. The video is really cool too. I know you can't see it. I can. Trust me, the video's cool. I have to say that I'm giving this one a thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
I mean, I think we'll rate it afterwards, yes. But I'm enjoying the hell out of this song. I'm just kind of sitting here nodding, doing a little head banging. Thoroughly enjoying this song. And that's the other thing. I hate to be that guy that's always like, man, I like the older stuff better. But there's something about having that initial sound that you fell in love with and hearing that again. And that's what this is. I'm glad bands can evolve, but hearing this reminds me of why I fell in love with porn. Rocking out right now. I wish I had a camera in here just so I could have filmed that and shown everybody just rocking your little butt off. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in love.
That's gonna be a 5-star for me. I really, really, really enjoyed that. That was an excellent. So, Korn, bravo. Thank you.
Can I give it 10 stars?
Well, it's our rating system. You can give it whatever the hell you want.
Woo!
74.46 stars. I used to break down the fractions. Maybe I'll knock it down. Maybe we'll get a 4.75. I don't want to give perfect scores out too easy. So I'll get it. I'm going to break it down. It'll get a 4.5 for me. Four and a half stars for Korn. That's insane. That's their latest one. You can go listen to that right now. Wherever you listen to music, please don't illegally download it. You can go watch it on YouTube. It's on there as well. Now, here's the thing with me is I'm a pretty huge Metallica fan. I think everybody might know that about me already.
I didn't.
You didn't? Seriously? Yeah, okay. So, we've been waiting for a Metallica album for a pretty long time. It's been 8 years plus since Death Magnetic came out, which was a fantastic album in and of itself. Well, Metallica finally does have a new album ready and waiting for us. It's called Hardwired to Self-Destruct. It's coming out November 18th. The first single off of it is called Hardwired, conveniently enough. So why don't we go ahead and take a little listen, as I forgot to press the right button. Sorry, everybody. Yeah.
Hardwired.
If you're not already driving 90 miles an hour, you are now. I'm turning this up. Oh my God, yes. James, language. Oh, is this just awesome to listen to?
I'm in love.
You're not used to head fake. Shit out of luck. Hardwired to self-destruct. Ow. That's it. Break it down. Oh, there you go, Kurt. Come on. Ah! God, I want to punch something. Someone give me a midget.
Hey!
You're technically not a midget, so you're okay for now.
I don't like that for now.
For now. Well, it depends on how much more Metallica I listen to. And also on the deluxe version, I know they're going to have Lords of Summer, which is one I absolutely love. And that was from like last year that kind of came out. I'm a little disappointed that it's not part of the main album, but I'm still going to buy the deluxe album anyway, so it doesn't matter. And that's going to do it for the music segment. That's 5 stars from me.
5, 10, whatever my rating system is, top of the class.
We're coming back with some penis stuff. No one ever said we were grown-ups here on Social Down 4 Radio.
Hey, I'm Ricky Bobby. Christmas is right around the corner. And what better gift to give a loved one than the Jackhawk 9000? Available at Walmart. When you work on your mysterious lady part stuff, you should have the right tools too. So that's why you should use Mapex, the official tampon of NASCAR. I'm Ricky Bobby. If you don't chew Big Red, then f*** you. Prune candy.
Just like the 1980s Nintendo cartridge, all we need is one good blow to work properly.
I don't understand.
Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Probably can't because I had it way too high. That's my fault. I apologize for that. Anyway, King, Gemma here. We're just about to wrap up the show, but before we go, well, considering how the last couple weeks have gone, we can't let you leave the show without some dong. We just can't. So we got a couple stories here for you. I know Gemma particularly loves this one. You know, this one kind of reminds me of the beginning of the show with Harambe here. But why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Police responded on Friday to a call in Warren, Ohio at the Giant Eagle Plaza. A man named Timothy Cook was sweating profusely, acting like a gorilla, and this is after he had already masturbated onto the sidewalk.
Now, see, that just kind of skeeves me out a little bit because it's not so much the sweatiness, which I kind of get. It's summertime. It's hot, especially if you're doing a, you know, rapid activity. Acting like a gorilla, I've been known to make gorilla noises. I mean, I get it.
He was squatting on all fours, punching the blacktop, and jumping up and down, screaming non-coherently.
He has taken his love for Harambee just a little too far. But I've also noticed with this about stories like this is that there's one or two places they happen. It's either Florida or Ohio. Those are like the two crazy states.
They really are.
Which is funny because like every like presidential election, those are like the two states that always come down to basically who's going to choose the president. It's either Florida or Ohio. And I find it funny that the two most absolutely unhinged, mentally insane states are really the states that help choose who leads us. And that's a little scary to me.
That's unsettling.
That scares me just a little bit. Now, we also have another story here. Again, maybe a little dong related. I think this one's a little more classy. This one's a little more pinky out. You know what I'm saying? You know? Because this one takes place, first of all, in Switzerland. So we're international now. And it's a story about a very nice coffee shop opening up later this year. And, you know, Switzerland, Geneva, you know, they're good with their coffee and their chocolate, you know, with the, especially with their chocolate, you know, the chocolate coffee. It's almost like so good. You know, kind of put that in there. It's delicious, right? And maybe while you're having your coffee, you want some cream in your coffee. Well, with this particular place, this particular coffee shop, it ain't Starbucks. And, well, cream's not the only place, well, coffee's not the only place where you can deposit some cream, as it were. That would have been a lot funnier if I didn't screw up the joke. Anyway, at the end of this year, a new coffee shop, the Fellatio Cafe, will open up in Geneva, Switzerland, where you can get a hot cup of Joe with a side of BJ. And I'm serious, we're not making this up. This is an actual thing. The firm behind the Swish Cafe, Face Girl, which just leads to a whole other set of imagery, says customers will be able to order coffee, then select a sex worker of their choice from an iPad. So this is what I mean. This is high class. This is high tech. You know what I mean? You're able to go ahead and pick your D-sucker right from an iPad. I mean, that's, do you download an app for that? I mean, that's what I'd imagine so.
From how I read it, it's you pick off of their iPad.
Oh, so they give you an iPad. Yeah, but I don't know if I want to touch their iPads. 60 Swiss francs, or about $50, that's going to get you a nice cup of coffee. You know, help you start your day. And, of course, a little bit of the old Hummer.
The coffee's extra. It's an additional 5 francs for the coffee.
Well, then I'm just out. Well, my God. What kind of highway robbery is that? My goodness, $5 for a cup of coffee? God.
No, 5 francs.
And that's what it is. The firm believes, let's see, and just how much will this sexual service set you back? Okay, yeah, so the BJ is setting you back $50 and then 5 francs for the coffee, which actually, looking at that, that's like maybe $3.50 for the coffee.
Yeah.
$3.50. That's not bad. That's not bad. Plus, you know, considering how the service at Dunkin' Donuts has gone down over the last couple of years.
Don't get me started. Do not.
I mean, they seriously can't get an order right. So at least in this place, like, even if they screw up the order, you're getting a redhead instead of a blonde or, you know, a Mexican instead of an Armenian. I don't know how it goes.
What do I get if I go to the coffee shop, though?
That's a good question. Can ladies get a little bit of their own sexual gratification with a cup of coffee?
I hope.
While going there to the Fellatio Cafe. I think it's only fair. It's 2016, man. You know, you gotta have equal sexes here.
Equal rights.
That's right. You know. So what, are you already booking a trip to Switzerland?
Let's go.
I want to go to Switzerland anyway. It's a beautiful place. Nice country, good chocolate, good German-speaking people.
I'm down for the chocolate alone.
Switzerland, the Germans that don't want to kill you. That should be their slogan. Their take. We have chocolate and we don't want to invade you. Switzerland. What? I'm just saying. I could run tourist boards forever. I'm good at this. I'm good at this. Anyway, that is going to wrap it up for us here today. Wow, I have lost the ability to speak. Anyway, I wanted to tell everybody this. I think, as you all know, we record out of Skunk Duck Studios. And since we record out of Skunk Duck Studios, that's because there's Skunk Duck t-shirts. And Skunk Duck Design t-shirts, we're actually in a partnership with Ham Radio, the Ham Radio Show. And we have a brand new t-shirt for them. We want you to go there, purchase it, and look awesome as you do so. That's over at teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. We also have a brand new America t-shirt up there that you can go ahead and buy. Plus, all of our older shirts are there as well. Yes, I'm using the end part of this show to plug my own store. I don't care. I need money. Buy my shirts.
Do it.
That's just how it's going to go. But for Gemma, this is King, and this has been another episode of Social Downfall Radio. Thanks for joining us. See ya!
Bye!
Social Downfall Radio is a production of Skunk Duck Studios and is distributed by Brainstew Media.